Blog Talk Radio.
You got to get up every morning with a smile on your face and show the world all the love in your heart. Then people gonna treat you better. You're gonna find, yes you will, that you're beautiful.
Good morning, everybody, and I hope everybody is having a fabulous day. You are with You're Important to Sarah. And today we hope to be interviewing Kathy Emerson from Rwanda. I know that she hasn't yet called in. I'm waiting for that call. But in the meantime, I'm going to talk about my own experience with people of Africa, where I lived in South Africa for 11 years. What makes people come together? There are a lot of countries that have been through hell, torture, dictatorship, poverty, corruption, the cartel, and don't forget Mother Nature. Yet they all come together as one to help each other in rebuilding, in repairing, in nurturing each other, thankful for the small things like just getting through each day. I lived in South Africa for 11 years and was amazed at how happy the African people were, even in their little shanty towns. The rhythm of their lives, the song in their heart, it always inspired me. The children that played in the street, bucket of water, a ball, or just each other, they were fantastic in just living in the joy of life and a little attention. Those TV ads you see with flies on the kids and things like this, yes, I guess it does happen in some places. But really, in a lot of ways, they look after each other. They take care of each other. They're there for each other. And they're very grateful for the small things in life, like the meal every day, a place to sleep, the safety, not living in fear. Western civilization sometimes, I think, loses that ability to come together in unison. We're inclined to worry and maybe whine over things that really we take a little bit for granted. I don't think we know the adversities that befall others in such a way. I am very, very grateful for what I have. Roof over my head, food in my stomach, excellent friends, the ability to do this show, the ability to reach out to people and change their lives. And I think sometimes what is constantly screaming at us is the thing that to live in simplicity of life. You're going to have to hold on here a moment because I'm finding out that Kathy is having a hard time trying to get through. So I am going to have to go online here a moment and just post that on her Facebook to let her know what the number is because she hasn't got the right number. And I'm going to have to hope that she gets this number and gets into it straight away. So if you bear with me for a moment, we did actually have a call. And maybe she just jotted it down wrong. So I'm going to give her this number. And for you folks that want to call in, it's 1-877-296-0345. So if you want to call in and ask us questions, then hopefully we'll have Kathy on the line and we can get the show going. Sometimes this happens. You know, we jot things down. I'm dyslexic. I put things the wrong way around or upside down. And I know that Kathy has an interview today with Global TV. She's actually going to be interviewed with, Randall Neal on Global TV tonight. So be able to catch an interview with her there as well. So getting back to what I feel about the simplicity of life, and when you look at the people that have lived through such diversity, it is the simple things that they live in the joy of, they live in the gratefulness of, and in the coming together. I know after 9/11, the city of New York, which had been so violent and was not a safe place to live in, came together to support one another, to protect their city, to protect each other in such a way that stands today. And it's a shame that it is adversity that brings us together. But it is, I think, through adversity that we learn to appreciate what we have. And maybe we as Western civilization that really does have so much, we can actually learn to perhaps be a little more appreciative of those daily things in our lives. such as shelter, such as food, such as good friends, such as family, such as the ability to be able to actually do something and have a purpose in life. Kathy went to Rwanda 20 years ago. God knows what she found there at that time, but I imagine that it must have been very, very turmoil, rapid with a great deal of violence and terror and horror. And she has dedicated these years and her time and her love and devotion to the people of Rwanda, working with the orphans, working with mothers and fathers and children, and helping people find not just a value in life or food or shelter, love, but helping rebuilding that sustainability. I'm going to give you her site so you can jot them down, and I have Kathy in queue, and we'll get her on in a moment. Her websites are www.preferredcanada.org. That's O-R-G. preferredcanada.org. And www.preferredpreschool.org. Remember, that's .org, folks, not a .com. And as I said, you can watch her on her show tonight. She has a fantastic volunteer program, which is a life-altering experience for people to go to and just go over there and offer their services. But most of all, be there to experience what these people and these children and the love and the laughter that they can give to you. So Kathy is the one that can really talk to this. So Kathy, have I got you here now?
Yes, good morning. I'm here with you, Sarah.
Great. Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. I'm very pleased to hear that. So, Kathy, perhaps you can tell us how you came about actually going there in the first place.
I think I ended up in Rwanda the same way that the majority of people do, is to go and see gorillas. That's a huge grab for Rwanda. Tourism is a booming economy in Rwanda right now, as being one of the safest places, probably the only safe place in the world at this time to see gorilla. And I spent a few days trekking gorillas and enjoying it immensely, but realized there was a whole lot more to Rwanda than gorillas. So ended up going back a couple of times and spending more time with the people than I did with the wildlife, and fell in love with what they were trying to build and what they were trying to do and willing to work hard to achieve.
So you fell in love with the country and the people.
Yes. It was exciting.
Kathy, I'm going to have to ask you to switch off your computer because you've got the show going on your computer, which causes an echo. So if you can just stay online and switch off their computer there. You know, with the program you have open on the show.
Okay. Is that better?
Am I echoing? No, I'm still echoing, so you still have to switch the show off.
Okay, maybe that's Brenda.
Maybe she went
I have mine shut. I have my computer shut off.
Okay, maybe she went into another room. It would be so close, because I am getting an echo back.
Okay.
These technical things do happen, folks, because this is internet radio.
This is a totally new and exciting experience for me. Thank you for including me in this, Sarah.
Oh, no problem, no problem. I love what you are doing. I think what you're doing is totally amazing.
I have a wonderful life. I'm very lucky. And we have sometimes around our dinner table is like the United Nations. We have people from all over the world coming and volunteering with our programs. So this is exciting to be on internet. A lot of my friends will be able to hear this. We have friends in Europe and Australia, America.
And therefore, let's get this word out there and get it spread on the, you know, not only the work that you're doing and why it's important, but then how other people can participate in it. A, with your volunteer program, and also with putting hands in the pocket and becoming a support.
That's right, we do. We have a four-classroom schoolhouse now with 160 preschoolers. And we're also in the process of building an 11-house subdivision, which in Rwanda is called an umadugadu. And so volunteers have lots of things to come and help us with. We're usually at preschool with the children in the morning doing ABCs and 1-2-3s. In the afternoons, we have adult literacy classes for our neighbors and the parents of our students. And a couple of days a week, we have the mama and baby classes that come in, and we do hygiene and baby health and have a lot of fun cuddling the new babies. Our volunteer program has helped us immensely to have the people come on the ground. A lot of our families are large families. There's 6, 8, even 10 children in a family. And our volunteers come and have time to look every child in the eye, tell them they're important, spend time with them. It not only helps the children educationally, but I think it makes them very strong as little people in just knowing that someone's come halfway around the world to be with them.
Well, of course, my program is very much about the importance of a person, their value, their ownership, and their uniqueness in life. And most people's problems stem from, their youth, where they're not given that importance of being a whole being. And I think what you're doing with this program is actually showing them that they count.
Yeah.
And that they do have a value and purpose. I'm still getting an echo, Kathy. I don't know if your friend is still online there, but maybe she can listen back after the show.
Okay. Okay, I think everything is shut down now.
Okay, it could be a problem on our side. I don't know what it is, but I apologize, people.
Okay, she's just shutting down her computer totally.
Okay. All right, so what I'm going to do, Kathy, is I'm going to have you talk a little bit about your volunteer program. I want you to tell people how they can do it, what it entails. I'm actually just going to cut off for a moment and call back in to see if that will take care of the problem. So you just carry on talking, and I'll catch you up.
Okay, thank you very much, Sarah. Our volunteer program, we accept volunteers over the age of 21 for anywhere from 2 weeks to a 3 months time span. They come and they live at the house with us. All their meals are with us. Doing school, we go to school each morning, be with our preschoolers, learning ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. As I said, we have some afternoon classes with adults and mamas and babies. We also have the subdivision going on. So there's 11 houses being built, which is a lot of excitement for the entire neighborhood. The government helps us choose our projects. So our goal is to give a hand up, not a handout. And Rwanda has been blessed with a fabulous government. President Paul Kagame and his government have education first and foremost. So this is where, with our preschool, working together with a good government, we've been able to achieve as much as we have.
And government makes all the difference, doesn't it?
It certainly does. We've tried to help in other places, and policemen, mayors, those kind of people are asking for help, asking for money. In Rwanda, all they're doing is helping me. They're giving me good direction. They're telling me how to help them with getting the best bang for the buck. And to give a hand up. I've been warned by the government to not give out. Don't make people greedy or lazy. Reward the ones that are working.
That's teaching value.
Yes. Yes, it is. Our government has a Vision 2020, where they want Rwanda to be by the year 2020. And when President Kagame speaks with the community and with the people now, he's empowering the local government workers and the population. He's, for so many years in the last regime, people were told they had no power. President Kagame is, we have 53% women in government. We have more women in government than any other country in the world.
Fantastic, isn't it?
It is. 65% of our population is under 18. We have to have that value of treat every child as your own.
Yes.
But you can accomplish a lot because of the teamwork. And the teamwork of the community, the government, and the people that are so generous and helping me keep going with what we're doing.
Well, it's great to see people. I'm sorry about this echo, folks. We don't know where it's coming from. We can't seem to get rid of it, so I hope it's not bothering people. I'm going to carry on because I don't know what else to do with it. Having government realizing the importance that it's not the country, it's not the resources, it's not the power, but it is the people. Yes. And that by injecting into people, not just, as you say, the roof over the head or the food in the stomach, but the value of self, where people are growing up in the wholeness, in a reason to be of purpose to life, and a reason to father, a reason to contribute. And that self-value working in what they want. I think they build a really, really very strong country. Perhaps other countries need to look at as well.
Yeah, well, Rwanda is a leading example for the entire continent. There isn't another government on the continent that's empowering the people and asking the people, get more education, giving. I have two children that we sponsor secondary students. We've had 22 secondary students that we sponsor. And two of them are now in university on government scholarships because they've done so very, very well. The government rewards working hard.
Mm-hmm. And maybe some other governments need to do the same thing.
It would be lovely. It would be lovely,
yes,
wouldn't
be.
It?
But I think, you know, as I was talking about at the top of the show there, you know, countries that have been through hell and back and have known the terror of just trying to survive another moment and then the striving for food and shelter. I mean, you know, countries that go through these earthquakes and tsunamis. I think it brings people together in understanding the real need of what humanity needs as to, you know, the power regime seems to disconnect from the people.
Yes. Yes. In Rwanda, it's been 18 years since there was genocide. Everyone lost someone. The children that I'm working with now, the families that I'm working with now, have had enough loss and pain. They are being shown and led and helped to find, like now we're not even calling it poverty reduction, we're calling it wealth creation. Just
wonderful.
You know, $1,000 a year income instead of $125 a year income like it was 10 years ago.
You know, wow.
So the people to feel that they are worthy, everyone is Rwandese. There are no more distinctions between anything anymore. Now everyone is Rwandese. They are all equal. The only thing that can make a little difference is if you have a higher degree in university, and that's a choice that you get to make. And the government is helping people to make those educational choices. So our preschool with our children, a lot of the primary schools, the directors of the schools come at the end of the year to see my children because they all want the children to go to their schools because they can count, they can add, they're well-behaved. It makes their school look wonderful.
Yes.
So everyone's
and they're looking
upon
them as the future leaders.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yes. And these children are orphaned through their parents. You know, how come you do have so many orphanages? I mean, everybody does, but generally there's a parent. How do you have so many orphaned children?
In Africa, an orphan is considered a single parent child.
Okay.
So when Africa talks about orphans, it's not always the same thought that sometimes in the Western world we have where an orphan is parentless.
Yes.
So sometimes that can get to be out there a bit. So we have a fair amount of orphan children, children that have been orphaned that are totally parentless, but everyone is in a family environment. Everyone is in a family home. Everyone has a mom or a dad and brothers and sisters in the family. And some of the reasons that there are so many orphans is because of AIDS, even though because we have a good government, we have the lowest HIV rate on the continent. But it still, of course, is an issue. And lack of education and lack of funding, a lot of times the young girls will give up their babies because they haven't had the advantage. They don't know where the food is going to come from. They don't know what to do. You know, so this is where we're catching these younger ones young enough that they're not going to be in those positions when they're in their 20s or having to make decisions that a child shouldn't have to make.
Yeah. So it's treating people as a whole, as a community. I'm a very big advocate for going back to the village mentality, where everybody's there enabling everybody in the village for the village to be strong.
Yes, that's very true.
So it sounds like very much that what you're building there is a community where there is responsibility for each other's growth and purpose in life, and then kind of like leave your child behind.
That's right. That's right. Now, we have a strong community feeling. When I first moved, there was still fear amongst the community, but bringing the children together, because the children are so easy to bring together, brings the parents together to see what's going on with the children and what they're learning, and it gets everyone working together, helping together. The parents were the ones that asked me for the adult literacy classes because they wanted to know what the children were learning. The majority of the adults in my community don't read or write. You know, and their children are adding and subtracting and writing numbers, and the parents are saying, I want to know what they're saying, what they're doing, please. And so the parents are coming and doing
learning
homework
alongside
with their children.
I think that's wonderful.
That's
such empowerment for the children to kind of help their parents learn to read and write as well.
Oh, how empowering for them. Their little egos just soar. They so deserve it.
If anybody wants to call in and ask Kathy a question, the number is 1-877-296-0345. You can call in, and I'm sure somebody may have a question about the volunteer program, how they can contribute, or any other questions that they need to ask her about Rwanda. How do you find living in Rwanda compared to Maple Ridge, B.C.?
I'm just going to say, Sarah, that number that you're telling didn't work for me here in Maple Ridge. The other phone number that your producer gave me, the 19-something, I'm just doing my computer.
1-877-889-3818.
That's the number that she gave me, and that worked for me. The other, that 1-877 number is not working.
Okay, I actually call in on 77, so it just might be your location. But the other number is 1-917-889-3818. So if anybody wants to call in and ask a question, please do. So you have quite a coup today that you're now going to put it on Global TV.
Yes, there
as well.
Yeah, Randy Neal from Global 11 is coming to meet me at 12:30 today and talk about my school, and she'll do a little bit of a story. So it's an extremely exciting time. And you were saying about the difference between being
Maple
in Rwanda and being in Canada. When I first came back, I couldn't understand. Everything seemed so very shiny. It was bright, bright, bright. I didn't understand why. And then I realized, there's so much electricity here, and all your surfaces are smooth and shiny, whereas at home we don't have a lot of electricity and our surfaces are not quite as shiny. So here everything is reflecting and bright. I just felt very shiny when I first got here.
Part of the fact, folks that don't know Maple Ridge in BC, it can also be very rainy. We also get between a couple of mountains here, so though it's very beautiful, we do get a lot of rain. I don't imagine you get in Rwanda.
Well, we live up in the mountains. So I'm at about 1,800 or 1,900 meters altitude.
Wow.
It is a little more Maple Ridge weather than a lot of African places are. Because we have two seasons, short dry season, short rain season, long dry season, long rain season. We have two growing seasons. We eat well. We're right in the volcanic soil, and we provide half the country with potatoes.
Ah, well, I actually came from a potato farming area myself in England, actually, so spuds, as we call them.
Oh, yes, spuds.
Well,
and we grow what they call Irish potatoes. I don't know if they are Irish potatoes, but that's
exactly
what...
You make very good vodka.
Yeah.
A little industry on the side there. Oh, we never know where you can get your economic from. What is the economic drive from where you are? Or, you know, you're preparing these kids to learn in school, but what is the economic advantages for them to go to?
The government's working very hard. Having good security in the company is a point of trying to encourage investors. Rwanda has the best roads in Central and East Africa, which is transportation. We've put fiber optics throughout the country. I was teasing, and my husband is phoning me every morning to say hello from Rwanda to here in Maple Ridge. And with all the telephone competition, we talk for 20 minutes in the morning, and it costs him $2. So it's quite a bit different than in Maple Ridge. We're having a real telephone war there.
Yes, exactly.
Coffee and tea is a big export in Rwanda. And there's a lot of methane gas in Lake Kivu that could be explored and brought in pipeline, and to save environmentally for cooking, it would be a wonderful thing.
So in other words, there's a great deal of opportunity there in Rwanda, and the fact that the, you know, people obviously, when they think of Rwanda, I think that the Hotel Rwanda movie sticks in their minds, and it's always hard for people to move on from that image.
But you're saying it's so now very different than that.
Stabilize. Right.
Yeah, no, it's so very different than that now.
There.
I sometimes tease people and say, Rwanda's safer than East Hastings Street in Vancouver. I've never been nervous. I move about. I drive myself. I have friends. I travel between capital city Kigali and my hometown. It's a two-hour drive. It's an exciting time to be there. There's a lot of really, really wonderful things happening, and the government's trying to encourage investors.
Which is good. I mean, you know, it's you're there empowering the children, and the leaders of tomorrow and the leaders of today are setting a path for which these children to walk on in order to build the country into its own sustainability, which is wonderful.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. It's a totally new thing for an African country to do, and as I said, I moved there 3 weeks after President Kagame was elected in his first term, because I knew it would be exciting, and I wanted to just be a part of this dream that he's had, and it's coming to fruition, and I'm seeing the children growing, and it's healthier. When I got there in 2003, the children were dying, for God's sakes, you know. It's just... It's a new world now. Vaccinations, preventative medicine. The government is trying so very, very hard.
So basically what you're saying to people is, come on down, folks. There's great opportunity here to be a part of a new growth and building a new country. And
that's right.
Really setting precedents for others to follow.
That's right. It's
we have 1 minute
satisfying.
Left, want to sum it up for 1 minute left?
Yes, okay. So I have never looked back from the time I've moved to Rwanda. I'm very happy with being there. I invite everyone to come to Rwanda and see what there is to offer. Come for 2 weeks, volunteer with my program. You just might fall in love with it. But there's many opportunities, and certainly a lovely chance to have a holiday, to vacation, to do some business, to trek gorillas. Rwanda is open to anything right now.
And that is fabulous. Well, I commend you for your dedication, for your courage, for the work that you're doing there. And I can only imagine how wonderful it is to be there at that ground level and know what impact you're having on future life.
Well, I say to the people that help me, I said, you know, they're the ones that are sending the funding that's letting everything go, and I'm the one that gets all the hugs and gets to hear the giggles when everything is handed out. So I'm very, very blessed with my life. I know that.
Well, I thank you so much, love, and I'm sorry for the echo on the show, but I really hope that this reaches people. Dip into your pocket, folks. Don't be a part of it. You have the websites up there. You can always go to the Authentic You site, see what her site is. And I thank you very much, Kathy, for being on.
Thank you for this opportunity, Sarah. It was an absolute treat.
Bless you.
Okay.
Next week, folks, I have Ella Nichols. This is your basic cure. Today's Dr. Ruth. She has wonderful education on sexuality, the importance of it. I know it seems to have shows on embracing of one's body and one's sexuality, but it's a very big part of us. And done right, It's a very big part of helping our whole spirit and soul move forward. I wish everybody to have a fantastic time, and I have a wonderful week, everybody, and I'll see you next week.